Thank you for listening to the Bible Expositors Podcast with your host, Stephen Baker, taking you verse by verse through the Word of God from the pulpit of Harmony Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia.
1 Corinthians chapter 2, and starting in verse 1, and we're just going to do verses 1 through 5 this evening. 1 through 5. Shouldn't take long, but I put extra stories and quotes in there to make it take a long time. The title of the message this evening is The Testimony of God. The Testimony of God. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 1 through 5. And so let's go ahead and read verse 1 and then we'll pray. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us be in your house this evening. Thank you for the good service this morning. I thank you for all those who are here tonight. We pray for those who are not able to be here. Pray you'd bless them, be with them. We pray that you would be with us. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Forgive us for our sins. Help us to receive from your word tonight. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So by way of introduction tonight, the Word of God says, 1 Corinthians 2, 1, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. When Paul came to them, and we find the story of when Paul came to these Corinthian believers in the book of Acts in chapter 18, and starting in verse 1, after these things, Paul departed from Athens, and he came to Corinth, and he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome. And he came unto them, and because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. So Paul was a tent maker. That's what he did for a living, as well as he preached. And so he got with Aquila and Priscilla, and they made tents. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 18 and verse 9, "Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city." And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the Word of God among them. So Paul went to Corinth. He met Aquila and Priscilla, and he started an evangelistic work, which started the church at Corinth, and he stayed there a year and 6 months. And we see when Paul came to them in Acts 18, and then we see how Paul came to them. The Bible says in verse 1 of chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." So Paul did not come with excellence of speech. Paul didn't come as a philosopher or as a salesman. He came as a witness. That's a quote from David Guzik. Paul came as a witness. And that's the way he came to them. Paul made a special emphasis here in 1 Corinthians. First of all, we don't really know how good a speaker Paul was, but he seemed to make an emphasis about the fact that he wasn't a great orator. Paul probably was a brainy guy, and he probably wasn't a speaker like Apollos. But he's continuing this thought from chapter 1 that his preaching was not impressive in and of itself, but it was impressive because of what he was preaching. He was preaching Jesus Christ. So Paul did not come with excellency of speech. He didn't come as a philosopher or a salesman. He came as a witness. So having done the introduction, now we'll begin with our first point this evening. Again, from verse 1, the testimony of God must be declared. The testimony of God must be declared. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. The testimony of God must be declared. A testimony, according to Webster, and this is not the current Webster's dictionary, this is actually Noah Webster's dictionary in the early 1800s. Testimony, a solemn declaration or affirmation made for the purpose of establishing or proving some fact. Testimony is the declaration of a witness. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. So in Acts 4:33, that's what we're quoting there, in Acts 4:33, the same word that is translated testimony is translated witness. And this speaks about the apostles' witness. With great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all. So when Paul says here, and I, brethren, when I came unto you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. The testimony of God is the witness of God, and he's declaring it unto them. So we see the testimony of God must be declared. And it does no good to have the testimony of God if we don't declare it, right? We've got to tell people about Jesus Christ. We don't just have a testimony, but we declare our testimony. The testimony of God must be declared. Secondly, we see that the testimony of God must be determined. It must be determined. Verse 2, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And that's really all you need to know. Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul, of course, knew a lot of things. He was a brilliant man. He spoke several different languages, and he was a scholar. But Paul determined in his preaching that the main thing he was going to preach was Jesus Christ crucified. Matthew Henry says, Christ in his person and offices and sufferings is the sum and substance of the gospel, and ought to be the great subject of a gospel minister's preaching, but not so as to leave out other parts of God's revealed truth and will. Paul preached the whole counsel of God. Few know the fear and trembling of faithful ministers from a deep sense of their own weakness. They know how insufficient they are and are fearful for themselves. When nothing but Christ crucified is plainly preached, the success must be entirely from divine power, accompanying the word, and thus men are brought to believe to the salvation of their soul. So Matthew Henry is telling us that the success of preaching must come from a dependence upon God and his power and preaching the crucified Christ. Remember, years ago, when I went into jail for the first time, I was scared. And of course, after that, you get less scared because you know what to expect. It's a lot like life. I believe it was Steve Gregory. Steve Gregory told me one time that if you go in and you're not scared, there's something wrong with you. And a person who can get up and teach or can preach the Word of God or can do those sorts of things before men, if they don't have some fear and trembling and some trepidation about being faithful to the Scriptures and what they're going to say, and if they're just thinking, ah, well, I can get up and speak and I'm a great speaker and everybody will listen to me and all that kind of stuff, then there's something wrong. Amen? We've got to depend on the Lord Jesus Christ and preach Christ crucified. The Life Application Study Bible says, a brilliant scholar, Paul could have overwhelmed his listeners with intellectual arguments. Instead, he shared the simple message of Jesus Christ by allowing the Holy Spirit to guide his words. In sharing the good news with others, we should follow Paul's example and keep our message simple and basic. The Holy Spirit will give power to our words and use them to bring glory to Jesus. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So we've seen that the testimony of God must be declared. It does no good to have it if you don't tell it. The testimony of God must be determined to share the message of Jesus Christ in simplicity and in plainness, and to magnify Christ, not ourselves. And then finally, the testimony of God must be demonstrated. It must be demonstrated. 1 Corinthians 2:3, "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." Now, we go to Acts 18:5-10. And the Bible says, "And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go into the Gentiles." So this is Acts 18. Paul has come to the city. Remember, he stayed there for a year and a half. He's starting the church at Corinth, and he decides that he's going to preach to the Jews. And when he preaches to the Jews, they blaspheme and they reject his message. And so Paul shakes off his raiment, and we had a guy that went to the local, I shouldn't really say this, but I will anyway. He went to the local jail one time here in town, and the chaplain told him he needed to quiet down because he was preaching too loud, because they have rules about it. And so he refused to calm down, and he told chaplain, "I am going to preach however the Lord leads me to preach." So chaplain told him he couldn't come back. And he actually took his shoes off and dusted his shoes off at the door before he left. But at any rate, that's not a good application of that verse. But at any rate, "And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, Paul shakes his raiment and says to them, Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go to the Gentiles." Of course, in verse 7, the Bible says, "He departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshiped God, whose house was joined hard to the synagogue." So Paul didn't go very far away from the Jews. He just went next door and went to Justus's house. "And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house." And so Paul still won Jews to Christ after he said that. Many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. "Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city." So when Paul says he came to them with fear and trembling, he had been rejected by the large majority of Jews. He was going to the Gentiles. People constantly wanted to kill Paul, and Paul got scared. And God told Paul, "I'm going to be with you. Don't fear these people. I'm going to be with you. No man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city." Verse 4, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." The Spirit and power is so important. Not in enticing words of man's wisdom. I was telling them in Sunday school this morning, I once heard a message from an evangelist, and the whole message was on a block of wood with a nail. I have no idea if he even used, I think he used a scripture at the beginning, but he preached on a block of wood and a nail. I remember because I was there, and that's the only thing I can remember from the message. But that was he had a block of wood with a nail in it, and he told a bunch of stories. And he made an application about the block of wood with the nail, something about crucifixion, and the altars were flooded with people. And we though, try and preach the Bible, and that's what I like to preach. And Paul says, my speech and my, first of all, I'm not creative enough to do that. I don't think I could preach a whole message on an illustration and have you all flooding the altars and in tears. If I ever can do that, I need to get out of the ministry and sell cars or something. At any rate, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. The Greeks valued philosophy and man's wisdom. One of the dangers, Spurgeon talked about this morning, one of the dangers of higher education in seminaries that focus on the writings of philosophers like Immanuel Kant, or even focus on what great preachers like John Calvin have said, is that ministers may depend less on the Bible and more on philosophy or the words of men. I've seen that happen. Paul insisted that his speech and preaching were not based on man's wisdom, but on the demonstration of the Spirit and power. Mount says that this word means manifestation, demonstration, indubitable, impossible to doubt, proof. So when Paul says the Spirit was demonstrated in power, it was a demonstration of the Spirit and power, Paul is saying that it was a proof. The presence of the Spirit was proved. It was impossible to doubt. It was obvious that the Spirit was there. The power of the Spirit was demonstrated, not just talked about. Now, verse 5 of 1 Corinthians 2 says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Faith should stand in the power of God, not in the wisdom of men. That is why we should use the Word of God and a simple testimony when leading someone to Christ. A.T. Robertson said, the only secure place for faith to find a rest is in God's power, not in the wisdom of men. One has only to instance the changing theories of men about science, philosophy, religion, politics to see this. A sure word from God can be depended on. Of course, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and God's word does not change. So we depend on the sure and certain Word of God. So in summary, number one, declare your faith in Christ. Declare it. Don't just talk about it. Declare, or rather I should say, don't just think about it. You should talk about it. Don't just think about it. Declare your faith in Christ. Spread the gospel message. Number two, determine to declare it in a simple and straightforward way, not depending on man's wisdom or philosophy. Declare your faith in a simple and straightforward way. And number three, demonstrate your faith through a life and testimony empowered by the Holy Ghost. So much of our lives is spent trying to serve God in our own power. And we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. We need to ask God to fill us. And we need to preach the gospel and share the gospel and teach the gospel and live our Christian lives in demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these people. I thank you for the work you're doing in this place. I do pray that you would help us all to share thy gospel, to declare it, to keep focused on Christ and to preach the simple message of salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And I pray that we would do this in the fullness and power of the Holy Spirit. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.